Coleman Hawkins, the father of the tenor sax, with Soul Blues. This is a tune he recorded in 1958 with Kenny Burrell on guitar, excuse me, Ray Bryant on piano, Wendell Marshall on bass, and Ozzie Johnson on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrace Lead, and we pick up from where we left off yesterday. Excuse me, I have to cough. All right. I'm going to drink a little bit of water and then restart. Okay. You know, things happen. You're getting older. You start to cough. No reason, but we're okay now. I wanted to talk about, I don't know whether it has occurred to you, whether you've noticed it, but it really, really grinds my gears. And that is, what happens in media when, you know, especially when things, important things happen, and the media, which normally operates, I contend, in apartheid mode, goes into hyper-apartheid mode. It's as if they declare sole possession of the information and knowledge of a thing, over an event. And they have absolutely no desire to share the space with anybody. They don't want anybody in there. They take over. This is our thing. You go concern yourself with something else. We got this. We're in charge here. We don't need you. And it happens over and over and over again. And this goes all the way back to the pre-civil rights era, where we did have journalistic apartheid in this country. Not only were people of color just locked out of the nation's newsrooms, but they were relegated to positions of menial tasks, even after a pledge during the civil rights movement to integrate their newsrooms and to act like, you know, this is the normal way we ought to operate. Since this whole story, this whole debacle about Trump and possible impeachment and so forth, we have not seen a single person of color literally guiding a discussion. We don't see people of color in the town halls that they have. We do not hear about the issues important to them. And it is mind-boggling. If you were to look at news programs, you would think that there are no Black or Latino or Asian journalists in this country. All the usual suspects take their positions as the regulators of information. And only through them would the nation and the world know what is happening in the United States. And it doesn't just apply in the United States alone. It is, for example, take the bombings in Sri Lanka. There is not a single Sri Lankan journalist covering the story that I have seen. And they're right there. You would think that they know a thing or two about the subject, insofar as they've been covering this for years. But no, you have to have the American journalists, in true imperialist fashion, come in. And that is the official report that we will get. The local journalists are right there. They don't want to hear, they don't exist as far as the media are concerned. What is this? We have to talk about it because it's insulting. Apart from being just plain stupid, because you're depriving yourself as a media organization of very good and reliable knowledge and skills and information that are right there and available. The idea, though, it is a form of cultural and journalistic imperialism. What we know and read and see and hear in the way of information is the distillation of what imperialist forces, and by the way, I'm not exempting progressives or liberals from it. They do the same thing. You're holding a town hall meeting, right? At a time when we have such issues that are appealing to everybody. Everybody ought to be in it. And you still, in 2019, we still have these folks practicing journalistic apartheid in your face. We are the only ones who know. We are the only authorities you should look to for information. We are the only ones. And we've got this. We'll take it from here. You just sit down someplace where we don't see you. We'll tap you on your shoulder when we're ready for you. And they're never ready for you. Now, this is something that I've lived with all my professional life. In fact, it's the very reason that I started a news service on my own back in the day. The information that we need isn't just, you know, an inanimate object. We need to see this information animated through the voices of people who look like us. I can't tell you how many stories I've covered where my angle on the story is totally different, i.e. superior to whatever is there as the official reports. I have had the experience, I can't even tell you how many times, of New York Times reporters and reporters from this organization and that organization calling me to ask me what's going on. And then, of course, the reporter, I don't mind. My thing is, the story's getting out. That's fine. But we see this time and again, and we ought to shut it down. Not in 2019 are you going to pull this crap. Well, you are the only authorities on anything important. We're not going to play those games. So this is why I don't watch television. I don't have a television. For years now, I have not had a television. I refuse to believe that these purveyors of news know what they're doing, what they're talking about. Some do, but the vast majority are there for a political reason. They are there to remind us of the social order in this country. Who controls information? And a long time ago, I dispensed with that notion that the only people who could tell me what news is, the only people who could report, they come into my community. And CBS won't send a black person, not even for shame's sake. They're coming into your community and they tell you what the story is, although they don't know it. I remember a reporter from the New York Times was covering this case in federal court in Brooklyn. Had a pretty high profile as a reporter. And, you know, well, she's from the New York Times. Let us all bow down before her. Okay. Now, I'm covering the story too. And she constantly kept interrupting my train of thought. Who was that guy? Who was that guy over there? Do you know she didn't know a whole lot of what she needed to know to cover this case? And then she was depending on me to extract information from me, so I was to be her tour guide. Classic colonial mentality. So, you know, I helped her out. I'm an amenable person. And then it reached a point where I shut it down. I shut it down. Because the information she was asking about, she did not know in the configuration of a courtroom where the defense sits, where the prosecution, these basic things. And don't you know, the next day the story appeared, big headline and great byline and all of that stuff. But the story, the information, was nothing close to what I reported. Nothing close. And it betrayed a lack of understanding about the basics, about the very basics. You go into court, you ought to know who the prosecutor is. You ought to know who the defense attorney is. You know, you ought to know these things. But I'm looking at these stories now, as the political tempo increases. And we're getting deep into, you know, the pull and tug, the Democrats versus the Republicans, the Democrats versus themselves, whatever is going on. And there hasn't been a single journalist of color entrusted with the task of giving us information. What is that? And there hasn't been any hue and cry. There's nothing. Because this is the way it's supposed to be. Back on in plantation days, we have people who are not even, in some cases, qualified to handle the knowledge and information that they should be sharing with the public. But under no circumstances would you see a person of color orchestrating, let's say, a town hall, or given the assignment of carrying the ball on a major subject. It's a source of irritation to me. And it angers me that we still, in 2019, we still are going along with this program. When I say we, I've never worked in the white press. I refuse to do it. Never, ever worked in the white press. Started my own. Because this is a lasting remnant. Well, it isn't even a remnant. It is the thing itself of who controls information in this country. And whoever controls the information controls what you know. And we have to do something about it ourselves. This is why I insist on this program. Everybody is a journalist. There's no special requirement here. You ask questions, you look things up, and you employ your brain to put things together. You analyze for yourself. And you'll do a splendid job. The more you do it, the better you'll get at it. But part of what we have to do is to change this abominable equation where we are either reacting to what the authorities are saying, and by that I mean the reporters and the news experts are saying, but worse is that we lock ourselves out of the discussion and we lock our communities out of this discussion. Except, of course, when we're talking about something, this you see a very keen interest in getting to the black community like it's an extra universe somewhere. They go into the black community. That's where how you find out what people are thinking. You have to go into their communities to find that out. And what you after, most of the time, these news organizations, what they're after, is the negative. I don't see people of the caliber of, say, Gerald Horn in mainstream media analyzing things the way he does. I just put him as an example. They have no intention of doing it. The media will not undo the damage it has been doing for centuries, which is you treat information as a commodity. And people are selected to know, and people are selected not to know. Imagine in the middle of all of the turmoil that's going on right now, at home and abroad. It really grinds my gears. You can't find one Sri Lankan to discuss what's happening in his country. You can't find one Venezuelan to talk about Venezuela. You see, all of these things we have to tackle, but we are practicing the same policies, as it turns out. I looked at a program, I forgot what date it was, I was at the doctor's office, and they were discussing, and there was a guy from Judicial Watch and whatever it is. The entire program from start to finish was totally bleached white. And I'm supposed to sit down and watch that program, set aside all I know about the relationship between information and subjugation, and pretend that I'm getting unbiased views. I'm getting racist views. I'm getting an institution that is saying to me, get used to it. You know, we're giving you the information, we have it, we have a monopoly on information and knowledge. We still are in a master-servant relationship. I tell you, you have to get aggressive about this for yourself. For yourself. Because I understood this as essential to liberation. You have to divest yourself of knowledge and information that comes with the old, with the old maxim. We know everything. You know nothing. Our job is to tell you what you should know. We have to look for it everywhere. And I've lived in a world long enough, a world of apartheid, long enough. I grew up in a colonial society. Imagine, I'm all the way in the Caribbean. My information is coming from London. And I am being trained in the in the standards, quote unquote, of the British. They're not telling me what's happening. They're not shaping my worldview. They are literally running my mind. You think there isn't a single Trinidadian who can't write a cogent story? I have to wait till somebody in London sends a story down the way they want it to appear. And that becomes part of my reservoir of information from which I am free to draw in order to make sense of my world. But hogwash. This is why, and I'm very, very proud of it, PRN is a good place to start. The reversal of these outrageous fortunes. Think yourself. And look and expect the quality of the information that you are being offered. On this program, you don't have to agree with me at all. In fact, I love it when people disagree. Why? It means they have their own mind. And we experience the point of this medium when we engage with each other. But you can't take this attitude that we know everything We set the pace. We identify the issues. We take the lead on everything. And, you know, when the story is exhausted and somebody decides to take on the duty or the burden of correcting all the crap that has been reported, until that happens, you're on your own. You are a captive. And this is what it means when the according to the phrase, information is power. Well, who has the information? Who are the stewards of information in this society? And why do people think that it is a wrong thing? It is not really important whether the information you're getting is from a white person or a black person or an elitist or a socialist. Yes, it matters. It matters. Our communities have suffered long enough from journalistic apartheid. We ought to end it. That is not to say that there aren't people who are genuinely committed to using or seeing journalism as an essential part in this whole discussion of liberation, because they are producing knowledge, they're producing information. And with that information, properly reported, you can make sense of your universe. But you can make sense of your universe anyway, which is what you ought to do. You ought to have an opinion. And you ought to resist the notion that establishment media is going to help you do that. No, it's not. You look at the ranks of the editorial rooms all across America. They haven't changed since, well, they haven't changed. It's the same standing order, the same hierarchy, the same attitude that informs what they do. And because there's this notion of your importance, you know, you have to secure your importance. That is not open to all. There are people in every form of media in this country who have so much to offer and will never get the opportunity, because the going thinking, the operative thinking, is that information, which is key to power, must always be in white hands. I've noticed it in this phase that we're in. You know, people having town hall meetings. How are you going to have a town hall meeting and there's not one black person in the audience, let alone, you know, sitting on the dais? In 2019. You see, in my view, people should just get up and get out. Have your meeting all by yourself. I have a fair idea of what's going on. So, I went on much longer than I thought on the subject, but it is something that really, really irks me. This notion of information and who controls it, and our feelings as consumers of information, then we have no choice. And therefore, our guard is constantly, if not permanently, down. We think they're telling us something, but when you look at it structurally, you see that it serves the same purpose, or the same purposes, as it served in the 1940s and 50s. Get involved in making up your own mind. Protect your brain. It's the best weapon you have. Don't give easy access. And be on your guard. Because this is how entire societies are destroyed, through the manipulation and control of information. All right, I've said enough. Let's take this break and come back and retool, and we proceed right after this. This is Utrice Lead. The program is Lead Stories on PRN.fm. And I just finished a personal commentary. I just was stewing in my own juices there for a minute. But yesterday we talked about impeachment and the various takes that the political establishment has on whether Donald Trump should be impeached or not. I talked about the fact that although there are increasing calls for the president's impeachment based on the Mueller report, the party as a whole, as symbolized by Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the Democratic Party, the party as a whole is not enthusiastic about impeachment. You may recall some time ago, Pelosi pronounced that impeaching the president was not worth it. He was not worth the trouble. And besides that, it would be exceedingly divisive. I must tell you, I'm still having my lip trouble, so I'll be gurgling for a while over my words until these stitches come out. But anyway, she says we have to consider impeachment very carefully. It could have tremendous adverse effect. And of course, we have to consider all the contributing parts here. We have elections coming up in 2020. We have a fractured, and they can't deny it, a fractured Democratic Party. You have Donald Trump again going on with his lies that he was totally exonerated by the report. No such thing. No such thing. But he is, from all appearances, he is keeping the faith with his faithful. You know, the Trumpites are very, very loyal to Donald Trump, and it boggles the mind, but that's the fact of it. He's a formidable candidate, and he intends to fight, and he has already begun to fight, and it is revenge, a revenge fight. So it's going to be very, very brutal. So what does this mean? What does this mean in terms of the choices that people who, you know, believe in democracy and rule of law and freedom and all of that kind of stuff, what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to situate themselves in this environment as it is shaping up? What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. Willie from Brooklyn, you're up first. You're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon, beloved. How are you?
Hello, Willie. Fine, I'm begging.
I heard about, I'm so sorry about the accent that you had.
Well, you know, this is life. You just got to keep moving.
But let me just make this clear. I'm listening to you overtly. I mean, covertly. I'm not listening to you overtly. Can't do that. All right? So that's between us. You chief, on your shoulders I stand. On Garineau's shoulders I stand. I'm only interested in one thing alone. That's truth. And the so-called media, mainstream media, just like you said, you have not had a television in how many years? I have not had one since 1990. They have nothing to say to me because everything that they report to you, a couple of days later you find out, or a couple of years later you find out it's a lie. So the only thing we have, anyone, is their mind. And you cannot allow anyone to take your mind.
You can't.
That's the only thing, in my judgment, anyone owns. And the problem is, I think, in particularly in the United States, the American people has allowed somebody else to take their mind. Because if you could have the Trumpites, they've been lied to. They're victims.
But, you know, here's the thing. In the end, it's their world, you see. So it doesn't matter whether they fall for, you know, the standard line or not. It's their world. It's their world. So they don't have anything to fear about acting on false information or on the quality of the information available to them.
Okay.
It's their world.
Okay. Listen, I tend to agree with you. Yesterday, it's not their world today. There is a new world being ushered in today. This is why you see everything is in the open. If you want, the truth is out there. If you want to know, we choose not to know. Now, I just want to get back to PRN. We don't really understand and appreciate the value of PRN. And I'm even though BI has been compromised, these two stations. Now, how do we make it better? How do we make it a voice that everybody listens to? That job is for us to do. You see, in my mind,
I agree with it, but you know what I want to do today too is to, I appreciate your sentiments, I really do. But we've been saying this for years, and at some point, we have to have a cutoff point. We can't continue repeating the same thing. We've been telling people, you know, use your information differently. Look at different sources of information. Diversify your information. You can't do more than that. After a certain time, you just have to shut up and go about your business and do your thing. Because it's like pushing molasses uphill in winter with a rake when you're talking to people who intend not to listen. It's all right. Because that's part of the world.
Yeah, I do understand that. However, in time, which we do not have much time left, but we still have to do what we have to do.
Well, we have to entrust that to individuals themselves. It's time for people to step forward and take charge of their own information. They have to do it themselves. And we have to break people out of the habit that, you know, they could expect it. They could always expect that it would be there. They could always expect, you know, they could just turn a knob and the information flows. But are you supporting it? Are you contributing to its longevity? Are you doing anything to help? If not, then, you know, we have to make up our minds that we're moving ahead. If there are only 5 people who understand the value of what is being done and would like to support it, then there are only 5 people. And that you work with the 5 that you have. I'm not one for, you know, big campaigns to impress people. People ought to know. You're in the world, you see what is happening. I should not have to, and nobody should have to persuade you as to what a good decision is in terms of where you choose to put your support. You do what you want to do.
Okay, Eutis, that is correct. I agree with you. But I was in the same position like everybody else. That's why you and other people are so valuable to me. It's not that they don't want to know. They just don't know. The information has to be pointed out to them. That's all I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? You know,
I get it, but at some point we have to get serious. We can't be stuck in one place because of an emotional idea of what it is we're supposed to do. And therefore, this is our calling, and therefore we sacrifice our lives. No, we can't. We have to keep moving.
I'm not suggesting that we do not move, Eutis, but to make the changes necessary, there has to be the majority of the people have to know the truth.
I'm saying you're right. I'm saying, however, that is a person's duty. Knowing the truth isn't a passive process. Knowing the truth is putting yourself in the way of truth. It is an active process. You cannot sit and wait for people to hand you the truth. You've got to go get it. Of course, there are ways in which you look to media to help you. But we have to really get tough on this one question. It's up to you. It's up to you and me and everybody else. That's part of what your political life is. You have to get involved.
That's right.
You have to make the effort.
Yes.
And if you can't even do a basic thing like that, we got to move on. Love you, but goodbye. We have to move on. We cannot spend decade after decade after decade doing work that isn't putting us anywhere. And people are not getting the message. We work hard. The assumption is that you understand it's a two-way process. It's important for each person to see this process as part of his or her responsibility to him or herself. Getting information, getting yourself equipped understanding or trying to get information that helps you understand your universe better. That's your job. That's your job. And we're grown people. And so you've got to make the effort. Make an effort. I don't care how small. Make an effort. Thanks for getting a lot of noise from your end.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better now?
Yeah. But we have to move on too.
Yeah,
so,
can I just say one thing before you go?
Sure. Absolutely.
An unorganized lie is more effective than disorganized truth. And that's what we are.
Well, if we don't get that soon, you could just write us all off.
I agree.
We'll be of no use to ourselves. We'd be of no use. And nothing we could talk about in terms of where it is we envision ourselves going, none of it would happen. If we don't get serious about this business of getting involved in understanding this world that we're living in.
That's
thanks
right.
A lot, Eddie, for your call.
Okay,
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you three. I've been listening.
Hello,
to this.
David, how are you?
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing you answer my email. I have some things to talk with you about. You know, I've been listening to the discussion, and it's making me think of Jim Jones, with the Kool-Aid and down in Guyana. And what I see when you get on this subject is that the Kool-Aid has been fed to people from near birth, all through all the levels of schooling. And it is constantly being fed to people all the time. And they are at the state where it hasn't completely killed them yet, but is in the position of controlling them completely. Because as I see it, the ruling class that runs the country, this is not a democracy, not a republic, it's an oligarchy that is controlled by the oligarchs and plutocrats. They are very successful in they're controlling all the levers, the schools, the media, and all the ways that people have of getting most of the information. And I agree with you that people have to reach out and find other ways to get information. But as I see it, most people don't do that. So you have a situation here where a small fraction of the population can manipulate people regardless of their phenotype, their so-called race or whatever, or ethnicity or sex and age and whatnot, and successfully do it to their own benefit, for the benefit of those who rule. As I see it, there's no way that this empire, the United States is an empire with its tentacles all over the world, could control if it wasn't able to feed the Kool-Aid to the people to have them go along with the program, even though the program does not benefit the masses of people. So this is a brilliant idea that those who rule, they control all those levers, the newspapers and all the media and the radio, television, everything. And they're so good at it that they're able to have people function against their own self-interest. And that's what's going on. I see that every day. I've been in discussions with people. As a matter of fact, yesterday I talked to someone and, they told me that Obama was a god and all that sort of thing, And that they're unable to reach out and get the type of information that they need to get. They're so swamped, regardless of what kind of academic credentials they have. Most people are oblivious to how this game works. And it is a massive game, just like the name of my book, Playing Game. And the game is working for the ruling class at the expense of the people. And, you know, I know it's a very high, I know it's very frustrating. I hear the frustrating in your voice that people don't get it. But that's the problem. The ruling group, the ruling class, is so successful in controlling the media and, you know, all the other instruments of information, that the information that people need is overshadowed by false information or propaganda. And much of the media, the corporate media, is mostly propaganda. It's like 90% propaganda as I see it.
I agree, totally. And so the burden is ours, really. It has always been.
That's right.
The burden has always been ours.
I know it's very hard because I've tried to reason with people to show them things, and it's fantastic how powerful this group is, and how damaged people are. They just cannot see it, and they fall for the okey-doke, as some people would say, in the community. So, you know, it's not easy, but I don't give up.
I don't give up, really, even if I sound like I am, but I've never, ever felt, you know, to the point that there's no hope. I never believe that there is no hope. But I do get frustrated from time to time. And I think it is important for us, especially in these times, to make a conscious effort, even if we make a tiny adjustment, and we just make a series of small adjustments, we'll see some kind of progress. But we just can't continue this way. It's not going to help us
You're so right. Yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing you up on the 26th of May at the Community Church at 40 East 35th Street in Manhattan between Park and Madison. So I guess I'll be talking to you on email and so forth soon. Okay, thank you so much for your analysis of what's going on, and I really appreciate that. And I won't give up. I know you won't.
No way am I giving up. I don't give up. Thank you so much for your call. Thanks, everyone, for your call today. And this is what I'm. This is why I love this program. We just talking to each other and exchanging ideas and views and introducing each other to new ways of thinking and doing things. That is a revolution. That is revolution right there. And we shouldn't stop the revolution more than anything else. We need it more than ever. If we look at the times that we're living in, and what is intended for us as a group. So let's invest in this. Let's get ourselves a whole new mindset and make a little change. Doesn't have to be radical, just a little change. And you would be amazed at the change you will experience. You will see the world very differently. And you will be a different person in the world, which is a great asset for us. We've come to the end of our program today. I didn't get to talk about what we're supposed to be talking about, but we can get to it tomorrow. It's not going to go away between today and tomorrow, that's for sure. So thanks, and tune in again tomorrow, and we'll talk.